morning, good day, and welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It's Wednesday, it's July 1st, 2020. I'm your guest host, Brian Chaffin. I'm sitting in for Kelly Gumont today. And with me is the master of disaster himself, John Martellaro.
So it's 2020. I'm sitting in for Hugh Downs.
That hurt. That physically hurt, man. I mean, this. Oh, that just physically hurt. All right, well, John.
Happy to be here. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, John. Good morning. Okay, we are talking, though, about something entirely different. And that is some opining that you did on, based on a report from a former Intel engineer, executive or engineer, do we know?
He was the head of Intel engineering.
Engineer, okay, so both. On what actually set Apple on its course for moving the Macs to Apple Silicon or, you know, ARM, the ARM processor. Lay it out for us, brother.
You know, last week at WWDC, notably in the keynote, we heard about Apple's long-awaited expected announcement that Apple would be moving its Macs to their own processors, the kind of processors that are in the iPad and the iPhone, these ARM-based RISC processors. And they laid out the business case for it and the advantages and sold it and gave us demos. But what we didn't know until recently was why Apple made this decision, why it was clinched, what drove Apple into the
arms. Why now?
Why?
Why now?
Well, it turns out the seeds were 3 years ago when the Skylake processor, the predecessor to Coffee Lake, exhibited severe silicon bugs. You know, when you lay down the traces and you lay down the silicon on the die, if you have deposition gotchas or logic errors in the circuits, these are documented and delivered to the customer to work around. We've seen that in the past with some Intel chips that had math errors, and so it's up to the software writing on top of it to appeal to its list of bugs and, you know, correct these silicon bugs. Well, it got to be so bad that Apple was reporting more bugs than even Intel found. And recently,
and he called that really, really bad.
Yeah, former Intel principal engineer Francois Pignel talked to PC Gamer and told him, he said basically the bad quality assurance of Skylake was responsible for Apple finally making the decision to ditch Intel and focus on its own ARM-based processors. Now, Apple might have been thinking about this all along because of the great success of the ARM processors in the iPad and the iPhone. But when you've got a partner who's doing really, really well, your motivation to break away is reduced. And, of course, there's engineering issues, of course, switching to a different instruction set. So when things were going swimmingly, you know, you had Macs, which were the world's best PCs on which to install Windows. And Apple was probably not in the mood for a fight. But when these bugs started showing up in the Skylake series, Apple just started thinking, we got to do something about this. Maybe it is time to make the transition. Well, and I presume that they started looking at the engineering issues.
There's a quote that you included from Mr.
Pignel, I would say.
Well, let's go with that. There's a quote from him that you included from this article that I thought was really the key one for me. And he said, quote, "For me, this is the inflection point. This is where the Apple guys, who were always contemplating to switch, they went and looked at it and said, well, we've probably got to do it. Basically, the bad quality assurance of Skylake is responsible for them to actually go away from the platform. Keep in mind that English is his second language. My point here is that he's not saying that Skylake was the reason Apple switched. What he's saying is that Skylake was the reason why Apple made the decision to do this thing that they've been wanting to do anyway.
the tipping point.
It was the tipping point.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was the tipping point. And that makes a lot of sense to me, because when we first talked about this, John, I was not willing to embrace the idea that Apple made this decision 3 years ago because of Skylake. I was not willing, because we've been hearing rumors about Apple moving Macs to its own processors for quite a while. And I always felt that those rumors were being serviced and fueled by developments and events within Apple. But it does make sense why that the Skylake problems could have been the actual trigger point, that tipping point.
Yeah, we never heard this before that I know of. Mm-mm. What we heard was that there was issues with Cannon Lake, which is scrapped, and Intel went on to devise a new technology and a new series of CPUs, Ice Lake, and so on. Mm-hmm. They never did get successfully down to 10 nanometers with Cannon Lake, and they had to sort of semi-start over, and their troubles in getting to 10 nanometers. Well, TSMC was delivering 5-nanometer chips for iPads and iPhones. It was very pleasing to Apple. And so we heard about Cannon Lake. We heard about the issues with Apple wanting to ship a product at a certain time, and the chips weren't ready from Intel when Apple was ready to ship. And maybe we heard a little bit about the cost of the Intel chips, which are expensive and have a good profit margin for Intel. But none of that in our mind, as you and I have discussed it over the years, seemed to be enough to break the camel's back.
The big thing to me, as we were trying to read the tea leaves on this issue over the years, the biggest thing to me seemed to be that Apple wanted less power consumption and less heat, and that Intel didn't seem particularly interested in doing that. We heard stories of friction between the two companies based on this. And then, of course, we also know that Apple does have this penchant for control. They like controlling major components within their devices. And then lastly, of course, all of the various ways that Apple was able to leverage its control over its own ARM processors in the iPhone and iPad to get both unprecedented performance and unprecedented battery life and unprecedented power consumption because it was controlling everything.
Yeah, the key to that is the process size. When you get the traces smaller, you can go to lower voltages, and the power output is related to the voltage required. And so these small process chips, the 5 and now 3, I've heard, nanometer chips from TSMC, are really, really power efficient.
Yeah. And for some reason,
I don't know.
Say again?
What will be in the Macs? I don't know. Whether the Macs, because of their hardware requirements and performance requirements, will duplicate the A14 in terms of structure and architecture, or whether Apple will have to devise its own variation of the chips that are in the iPad and the iPhone to meet the requirements of a powerful Mac.
So
whether they'll go to 3 nanometers in the Mac, I don't know.
I assume that we're going to get something that is Mac specific and not just Mac tweaked.
The battery in a battery in a MacBook Pro is significantly bigger than the battery in an iPad or an iPhone. So you've got power, and you want to have a long battery life when you have access to power. And a lot of times Macs are plugged into wall power. You want to be able to exploit that capability.
Yeah.
And so cramming an iPhone-like chip into a Mac doesn't make sense. You want to match the scale of the architectures of the two based on the power needs.
Yeah, you do. That's exactly that is what you want to do. And accordingly, I think we're going to get some Mac specific silicon versus Mac tweaked silicon. And the A12Z, which is in the developer test device that Apple is providing for, you know, developers to start working on this move, that is a Mac tweaked processor, not a Mac specific processor.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by that.
The A12Z was not designed from the ground up for the Mac. The A12Z is an A12X with the eighth core on the GPU activated. I think that when Apple ships Macs with Apple Silicon in them, that it will be with a CPU/GPU that was developed from the ground up. It'll certainly be based on Apple's existing work, but it will be a Mac specific chip, not just a Mac tweaked chip.
Right, and I believe the A12 has been in existence for quite a while. Probably was brought into service back in 2018 when Apple first started exploring the engineering feasibility, because there's a lot of engineering to work out. They had to make sure that they had a Rosetta in the form of Rosetta 2 that would be acceptably fast. They had to make sure that they could do virtualization. They had to
That didn't start in 2018.
You could make a list in 2018 of the tasks ahead of you in order to make a successful transition.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But there's zero chance that Apple hasn't been working on this in some capacity for many, many years.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And that's why we've been talking about it for so long, because we first heard the rumors years ago, but it takes a long time for Apple to get this process right. This is a major transition. And it's going to annoy a lot of people, and it's going to make a lot of people happy, but there's going to be, you know, engineering challenges, and not everybody's going to be embracing it. Hey, so John, Apple has to prove that they're very good at this.
You know what else makes people happy?
Our sponsor.
Yes, that's right. Devon Technologies is our sponsor today, and very, very happy about that. Devon Technologies develops apps for taming the information flood based on their unique artificial intelligence technology. Their flagship product is the Document and Information Manager, Devon Think. Other apps include a web research assistant called Devon Agent, the desktop search assistant Devon Sphere, and some very useful freeware utilities. They've been around since 2002, and they are all Mac users by heart, which is something I love to see in companies that are making Mac software. Devon Think is the most professional document and information management application for the Mac. Helps you collect, file, organize, edit, and annotate all kinds of documents without ever leaving the app. You can place live web pages like documents that loaded in Google Docs, all seamlessly, all next to local files. It's all very, very, very easy to do. You can organize documents in groups and subgroups, tag them or both, whatever. Whatever suits your workflow best, in fact. Smart groups let you create different views on your data based on whatever criteria you can think of. Integrated AI assists you with filing and searching. It's a lot of very, very useful tools for you and your Mac, and you should absolutely and positively check them out. In fact, because you are listening to TMO's Daily Observations, you can get a 10% discount on Devon Think 3 or upgrade to it. And all you have to do is you go to devontechnologies.com/TDO. That's devontechnologies.com/TDO to get a 10% discount on Devon Think 3 or on upgrades. And that is all for listeners of Daily Observations. So there's one more thing I want to close out with, John. And that is, what do you think Apple is going to call these processors?
I think there'll be some sort of clever branding. I think A14 for the iPhone is fine, but because it's a major transition and there's some rebranding and confidence building to be done, that Apple's going to come up with a slick name for these new breed of variation. It's, as we talked about in the first segment of the show, the advanced modified architecture of the ARM chip to suit the needs of the Mac and the apps that run on it. You had proposed to me previously that there would be an M for Mac, like M14Z. That sounds pretty ChatGPT. I think those are they're gonna come up with some cool name.
What? Why do you think they have the least cool name ever for the processors in the iPhone? Why is that going to change for the Mac?
Because people who use phones don't really care what processor is in it, but people who use Macs are Unix geeks and technologists and
what?
Long time.
That's a subset, man. That's a subset of people who use Macs. If anything, Apple downplays the processors that are in its Macs. Well, especially when they're marketing towards consumers. Yeah, how many people do you think have to go
through this tense transition? The Mac is going through a tense period where there'll be skepticism, there'll be bugs, there'll be a lot of mudslinging at Apple for problems with Rosetta when they occur, and they eventually will. So Apple's got to sort of, wrap it in some sort of cozy nomenclature as opposed to the dry M12Z or something. So
I don't know. I hear where you're going with that. I do hear where you're going.
He's the marketing manager at Apple, so trust me.
I don't trust you on this. I don't think they're going to have I think the way I joked about earlier was Max with the Wagadoo processor. I mean, I don't think they're going to have a spiffy name.
The Mac ARM processor. There you go. The M14Z, the Mac ARM.
I could see Apple processor. Apple processor M. Apple processor. I mean, I don't know. I could see a lot of things. I don't really think it's going to be super snazzy. That's what I'm thinking. All right. Listen, John. We are, however, out of time. Thank you very much for doing the show with me today.
My pleasure. Nice to be here.
Yeah, good stuff. And hopefully Kelly will be back tomorrow. And on that note...